أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're back to Quran City, and today we will look at Surah Al-Sabah. This is Surah number 34, and it's part of Hamidat Crescent that we've been looking at, which looks at the five chapters that begin with Hamd, which is the praise and gratitude of divinity. Do you know, even our prophet is called Muhammad, one who is praiseworthy. The identity of a Muslim is based on Hamd. The Quran's identity is based on Hamd, on praise and gratitude. So Surah Al-Sabah, it's a Makki surah with 54 verses or 54 ayats. And when you feel fear in your heart, or you want safety, recite Surah Al-Sabah. Let's look at the focus first. The focus in essence is on praise and gratitude, which is Hamd, which in essence is a means of increase. And Allah shows that in the example of Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman. It also shows the antithesis of praise and gratitude, which is ingratitude, ungratefulness and greed. And here we have the example of the people of Sabah, which was a flourishing seaport in Yemen. And we see the consequence of this ungratefulness and greed, which is destruction. And finally, there's an invitation from divinity to think for oneself rather than go for a group or the herd mentality. So we've divided the surah into seven sections. The first section is ayah 1 and 2, where we find praise and gratitude, hamd to the creator and the all-knowing. And there is a little bit of a thinking here. It talks about the seed in the earth and it coming to life. In the same way, when we are buried, we will be resurrected with the fruits of our life. It's phenomenal. Section 2 is ayah 3 to 9. And it looks at the deniers of resurrection and those who oppose divine guidance. See, they did their best to stop the Prophet in giving the message of the Quran by mocking the concept of resurrection, and they called him mad or crazy. Section 3, which is ayah 10 to 14, focuses on Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman. So we find that when Prophet Dawood sings the hamd of Allah, the mountains and the birds sing with him. He's also given the ability to mold iron. It's like a soft date to him that he can make into armor. He already had the ability to use a sling. That's how he killed Goliath or Jalut. Prophet Sulaiman had the ability to control the winds so he could travel a month's journey in a day. This is in ayah 12. And like his father, he was given the ability to mold a metal, but this time it was copper. And the jinn were there to assist him to make fortresses and monuments and large pots from which they were able to feed humanity. And then section 4, ayat 15 to 21, from whence the name Sabah comes from. This is a story of Sabah in Yemen. It's the trade and agricultural capital of Yemen, with the ability to export their produce because of their position. They had connections with all the other important towns like Jerusalem, and in between them, there were smaller villages, which were all doing well in their own right. There were smaller economies. But Sabah prayed for and wished to suffocate the small towns out of business, so that only the elite could travel and do business and have large economies. Their prayer recited in ayah 19, where they wanted large distances, that meant everybody in between would be quashed. They had the Arim Dam, which provided water for multiple lush gardens. Well, the dam breaks and the gardens are replaced by barren lands, which had tasteless fruits, rocks and a desert. They wrong themselves, and divinity says that he makes them a historical example of their ingratitude and greed. Some of those who migrated ended up in Medina and became the tribes of Aus and Khazraj, which were later to become part of the Ansar, the helpers of Medina. As a result of the downfall of Sabah, Makkah became a greater trade center, and later on, Abraha wished to make Yemen great again, built the large church. Subsequently, the event of the elephant, which happened when Abraha decided to destroy the Kaaba, all related to this story. In section 5, we have divinity addressing the flawed beliefs of the Quraysh and their defiant opposition to the Prophet and his message. You see, they thought that they had been blessed with wealth and children, and therefore they would be continually blessed. They're told that it's not wealth and children that brings them near divinity. Divine success is belief and manifesting it into good deeds. Section 6 is Ayat 46 to 50, where there's an invitation to think for oneself and leave aside group mentality. The Meccans are told their rhetoric is not based on the truth, the Prophet is not possessed, and they're asked to make their own conclusions by listening to him. And finally, in section 7, which is Ayat 51 to 54, divinity presents a picture of the Day of Judgment about those who used to doubt and mock the concept of the hereafter. They are terrified, and now they say, "We believe." So in essence, in a nutshell, the lesson from Surah As-Sabah is to acknowledge the fact that praise and gratitude only belong to divinity. And the more we acknowledge it, the more he will increase it. And ungratefulness and greed do nothing but lead to destruction. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be constantly in hamd, in praise and gratitude of him. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.